I am Tom Holland, and this is Fitness Disruptive 2.0. All right, let's talk about cardio. Let's talk about weekend warriors. And let's talk about fitness fanatics. A term I have a problem with. Might not surprise you. So, I'm just going to talk about, go into two studies, read you the abstracts, and kind of connect them because they both go to that question of how much, right? How much exercise, how much cardio should we do? Do we need to do? What are the implications? Questions I get every day. Again, how much? What should the mix be? What's enough? You know, what's moderate? What's vigorous? What's easy? Can you break it up? What if you take time off, right? Those ridiculous articles that say basically if you take time off from strength training, from cardio, it's as if you never started or you're so far behind, complete and utter garbage. And too much. The second study goes to that too much ridiculous constant story that's out there, you know, and it doesn't help. Doesn't help people get healthier. And there is 0.001%, whatever the percentage may be, of people who are doing too much. And guess what? The body's a real smart machine. And it generally tells people pretty quickly that they're doing too much. And that just actually, after 400 plus episodes, I don't think there's a lot. I don't think I've talked about overtraining, but I don't know if I got to look back, done a specific show about overtraining syndrome. That's not what we need to worry about. We don't need to worry about too much exercise. And the Weekend Warrior one is pretty cool, pretty interesting. I think the study itself, as with many studies, I think, you know, we'll talk about what also might be going on there. But this is going to answer a lot of questions that many of you have with cardio, or confirm what you already thought. And that's a huge part of the show, is just bringing more and more research to confirm what we're hearing about the value of exercise so that you can get intrinsically motivated, so that you can make this a part of your life and an awesome part of your life. At 53, it's gotten easier and easier for me. You go, yeah, that's what you do for a living. Yeah, but there's a lot going on there too. All right. Everyone can flip the switch. Every single one of you listening can find exercise you like, can find healthy foods you like, and enjoy an incredible life as a result. All right. But let's jump right into it. So, first study, and let me just give you a headline from one of the articles about this study. It reads, weekend warriors can make up for missed exercise during the week. All right. Weekend warriors can make up for missed exercise during the week. And this was Gemma Network, July 2022, just came out. Titled Association of the Weekend Warrior and Other Leisure Time Physical Activity Patterns with All-Cause and Cause-Specific Mortality, a Nationwide Cohort Study. And as I said, I'm going to read you both abstracts because they're connected. You know, oftentimes I'll pull parts of the study as well, but this I want to just keep since there's two studies. And I generally am kind of focusing on one now with the shows, keeping it shorter and tighter. But that, you know, will change depending on the topics. And this one, since I'm doing two, I'm going to keep it tighter, even tighter. All right. So the abstract for this one, the importance is that it is unclear whether the weekly recommended amount of moderate to vigorous physical activity, acronym being MVPA, has the same benefits for mortality risk when activity sessions are spread throughout the week versus concentrated in fewer days. Let me stop right there. You know, my most recent book is called The Micro Workout Plan, and the whole premise of it is that we should do shorter workouts throughout the day. And what this study is looking at is, can you do it throughout the week? Can you break it up? In other words, can you do more on some days and less on the others and none on other days as well? And it's great news. The objective, again, was to examine the association of weekend warrior and other patterns of leisure time physical activity with all-cause and cause-specific mortality. Okay, so can you not do, not exercise a couple days a week, then exercise a couple days a week, and have it be beneficial? The design, setting, and participants for this study, this large nationwide prospective cohort study included 350,978 adults, huge, who self-reported physical activity, always questionable, always an issue, but that's how vast majority of studies are done, especially with 350,000+ people, to the U.S. National Health Interview Survey from 1997 to 2013. Long time frame. Participant data were linked to the National Death Index through December 31st, 2015. All right. So participants were grouped by self-reported activity level. The physically inactive were grouped into those who did less than 150 minutes per week of moderate to vigorous physical activity, or physically active, which was greater than 150 minutes a week of moderate, or greater than 75 minutes a week of vigorous. And that's important to point out to those of you who are still confused about exercise in general, right? The harder you go, the less of it you have to do to reap certain rewards. We need to do it all, right? But when you go at a higher intensity, when you exercise at a higher intensity, you get more in a shorter amount of time, is the quick way to put it. And as I say that, I want and I do a mix, and the healthiest we can be is by doing a mix. But if you're just talking pure calorie burn, people, when you do interval training for 20 minutes the right way, you're going to burn just as much, if not more, than a 45-minute session or longer, depending on the level you work out at. All right, so that's just interesting to those of you who are just learning about fitness. We want a mix of different intensity levels, right? Some easy, some moderate, some hard, but they are grouping these people that way. Physically inactive, less than 150 minutes of moderate to vigorous. Physically active is greater than 150 minutes a week of moderate to vigorous, or of moderate, or above 75 minutes a week of vigorous. Okay. The active group was further classified by pattern: weekend warrior, 1 to 2 sessions per week, or regularly active, greater than or equal to 3 sessions a week. All right. And then by frequency, duration, session, and intensity of activity. Okay, what were the results? Well, a total of, as I said, 350,000+ participants were looked at, mean age 41 and a half, basically. 192,000 were women, 209,000 were men. Okay, let me take that back. Yes, 209,000. Yes. And they were followed for a median of just over 10 years. That's a good amount of time. Okay. There were 21,000, almost 22,000 deaths documented, including over just over 4,000 from cardiovascular disease and just over 6,000 from cancer. Given the same amount, here's the results. Here's what you're waiting for. Given the same amount of total moderate to vigorous physical activity, weekend warrior participants had similar all-cause and cause-specific mortality rates as regularly active participants. So what's the conclusion? What do we take away from that? What did they take away from that? The findings of this large prospective cohort study suggests, okay, that individuals who engage in active patterns of physical activity, whether weekend warrior or regularly active, experience lower all-cause and cause-specific mortality rates than inactive individuals. Stands to reason that you're going to experience lower rates than inactive, right? But what they're saying is you can take a couple days off. You can do more on another day. I'm going to get to what that all means in a second. Significant differences were not observed for all-cause or cause-specific mortality between weekend warriors and regularly active participants after accounting for total amount of moderate to vigorous physical activity. Therefore, here we go. Here's the big takeaway in bold for you. Those individuals who engage in the recommended levels of physical activity may experience the same benefit whether these sessions are performed throughout the week or concentrated into fewer days. Way back. Is it Beat the Gym? I came up with, you know, people said, how many minutes should I do a week? And we all know the recommended 150. I just read all those. I gave a new number. And it correlates to weight, right? So cardio per week, I said, you know, the number of minutes in the pounds you weigh. So if you weigh 200 pounds, 200 minutes. If you weigh 150, 150 minutes. If you weigh 100 pounds, 100 minutes. Kind of correlates to weight. Right. And I would rather the person who weighs 100 pounds be doing more strength training for obvious reasons. But what I also said there, and that's there's not a huge amount of science there. I was giving people goals to start with. And again, it does correlate to weight. And there was a strength training component as well. We've got to do numerous things, right? Excessive moderation, six components of fitness. But my point was you had to achieve that number by the end of the week, which is exactly what this study is saying. And that relates to life, people. Some days you're going to have 20 minutes. Some days you're going to have an hour. Some days you're not going to be able to do anything. So by the end of the week, you want to have hit your total. Now, what this study is saying, and I wrote in the book, like, I'd rather you not do all 200 in one day. But what this study is saying, it's beneficial. I still don't think it's as good, and I'll give you one of the reasons why in a second, but that's good news, and that's evolution. You know, I talk about how I have three buckets of what I've studied and continue to study, because you have to, in my opinion, to really do this job well, and that's nutrition, exercise, and motivation. And then the other three buckets are evolution, everyday life, and empirical evidence. If we look at evolution, I'm pretty sure that, like, you know, the people back when we were hunter-gatherers, there were days when there were storms and they couldn't move and were in their caves or wherever. And then there were days where they were lots of activity going on a hunt, you know, and hunting down the persistence hunting for a deer or something. And then they caught the deer and they probably didn't move that much the day they sat and ate it. So it stands to reason, right? So set your weekly cardio goals. And you can break it up throughout the day. Talked about that, and we'll continue to. 3 10-minute bouts of exercise, same benefit as one continuous 30 for the most part. And now what you're seeing is, hearing, is that we can also break it up throughout the week. It's the total that matters. Frequency, mix up the, you know, duration. And one final thought on this before I get to the next study. I would rather you do more shorter workouts when you can, because you get the cognitive benefits, okay? Increased energy, increased focus, all of those incredible, you know, empirically, you know, supported benefits of exercise as well. Starting your day with a 5-minute walk, if that's all you have time for, and that's plenty to get those benefits, all right? So, great news. We'll talk more about this in future podcasts. All right, too much exercise. So I use the term fitness fanatic, which is a negative term, in my opinion. And one of the definitions of fitness fanatic I found for you is someone who is obsessed with exercise and keeping himself or herself fit. How horrible. Now, can you have negative consequences from an obsession? And that's kind of the gray area term here. but I don't want to waste a lot of time with this, but I put that in the title because it worked for what I wanted to get across here. But this study looks at doing more and significantly more than the recommended amount of exercise. Okay. And this goes to all those articles I said at the beginning that try to get people to not exercise, I would argue, because they scare them about doing too much, which no one, 99.9% of people don't have to worry about. Let me finish the rant with this. It's like when a person dies during a marathon, especially a big marathon, right? Person dies during a marathon. There's 40,000 people at some of those big marathons. Do you think if you had 40,000 people golfing for 3 to 7 hours, how many do you think might have an issue? Do you think they would blame golf? I'm going to leave it at that. All right. So one of the articles that talked about this study summarized it as such. Exercising more than recommended could lengthen life, study suggests. Okay. So that kind of supports the potential fitness fanatic out there. And the study was in Circulation July 2022. Both these studies, super recent. The title, Long-Term Leisure Time Physical Activity Intensity and All-Cause and Cause-Specific Mortality, a Prospective Cohort of U.S. Adults. Here's the abstract. Background. The 2018 Physical Activity Guidelines for Americans recommend a minimum of 150 to 300 minutes per week of moderate physical activity. That's MPA to them. 75 to 150 minutes per week of vigorous physical activity or an equivalent combination of both. Okay, and I don't think those numbers have changed. I've been reading that forever. I'm pretty sure it's still 150 to 300. However, it remains unclear whether higher levels of long-term vigorous physical activity and moderate physical activity are independently and jointly associated with lower mortality. So what were their methods? They looked at a total of basically 116,000 adults from two large prospective U.S. cohorts, and they were the Nurses Health Study and Health Professionals Follow-Up Study, 1988 to 2018, were analyzed. Detailed self-reports, leisure time physical activity were assessed with a validated questionnaire repeated up to 15 times during the follow-up. So big study. Long period of time, validated questionnaire, still self-reported, but that's what we're working with, okay? And what were the results of this one? During 30 years of follow-up, we identified 47,596 deaths, meeting the long-term leisure time moderate physical activity guideline, 150 to 300 minutes per week, was similarly associated with lower mortality. That's a good thing. We need to move people. Okay. The exercise pill, the podcast. I'm not going to go there, but you'll hear it. Anyway, I digress. I stop myself sometimes. It was a similar associated with lower mortality, 90% to 25% lower risk of all cause, cardiovascular disease and non-cardiovascular disease mortality. Okay, compared with those meeting the long-term leisure time physical activity guidelines, participants who reported 2 to 4 times above the recommended minimum of long-term leisure time, vigorous physical activity, 150 to 299 minutes per week, or moderate physical activity, 300 to 599 minutes per week, showed 2% to 4% and 3% to 13% lower mortality, respectively. Okay? Higher levels of either long-term leisure time, vigorous physical activity, greater than 300 minutes per week, or moderate physical activity, greater than 600 minutes per week, did not clearly show further lower all-cause cardiovascular disease and non-cardiovascular disease mortality or harm. Okay, so it's a lot when they're getting to the much higher levels. They're saying you might not have to go past that. But here's the conclusion. And self, you know, this common sense. The nearly maximum association with lower mortality was achieved by performing roughly 150 to 300 minutes per week of long-term leisure time, vigorous physical activity, 300 to 600 minutes per week of long-term leisure time, moderate physical activity, or an equivalent combination of both. Long way around, people, but I need to bring you the science and then just connect the dots. Do what you can do. Do what you can do when you can, and do more if you can. Line I came up with just for this show, and I love it. Do what you can when you can, and do more if you can. There's a t-shirt there. Don't worry about too much. Don't worry about missing a day. So now I'm connecting both studies. Do what you can when you can. Move more. All movement matters. That like message that a 5-minute cardio session, a 10-minute cardio session, it all adds up. Mix up your intensities. And that's where health comes from. And again, it goes back to evolution. I'm a big believer in let's look how our bodies evolved, to put it just simply. Hunter-gatherers moving. The lifestyles we live today. Not me, because I literally don't feel well if I'm not moving. And I believe that is a consequence of being active. I think the body literally says, if I'm sitting on a plane for 14 hours, get up. And I'll start to tighten up. I think obviously also connected to the exercise I do, but I think that's for a reason potentially as well. And so all of these specifics about going to the gym or doing this certain workout, and you have to do this and you have to do that. Yeah, more is better. More is better, but that's not to say or discourage you, especially when you're just starting out. You know, back when I was a trainer and I have a client who was just starting out, and if they had significant amount of weight to lose, I would get so excited. And those are the toughest clients to get, because oftentimes, obviously, for so many reasons, it's super challenging to start an exercise program. Get it. But I know how much of a change I can make in that person. How quickly? By doing not a lot, by just getting the body moving. Short durations, starting to build up that self-efficacy, start to feel those feel-good hormones. But if you go too hard too soon, as so many programs ask you to do, so many trainers, so many coaches, you end up not doing anything at all. And it's all the cliches that are, if you want to call them secrets, they are the secrets. Slow and steady. Life is a marathon, not a sprint. Every step is a step forward. These are the secrets, people. It's the application and the belief that is so challenging for so many people, and all of the misinformation out there. So it's great news for the weekend warrior. And you know, if you listened closely, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're only exercising on the weekend. It's just like it may be Wednesday and Thursday for you, depending on your work schedule or what you like to do or the sports you play or when you have time. But the concept of excessive moderation is so important. And it's 30 plus years of doing this that has distilled that concept in me, and it's what I have done. And that line, which I love, came up with for this show: do what you can when you can, and do more if you can. But as I wrap this up here, it's the snowball effect. That's why small steps aren't small steps. Because you start with 5 minutes and you feel like you accomplished something. And the next day you might do 6 minutes and you feel like you accomplished something and you did a little bit more. And you start to feel what the body does when it moves. The body feels better when it moves. Not if you move too hard, too soon, too fast, too far. But I didn't come out of the womb doing Ironmans or running ultra marathons. I was on a bench my entire childhood with shin splints and ankle issues because coaches pushed me too far too soon. And I knew nothing. And we didn't know half of what we know today then. So, and I had some young coaches, and what frightens me is when I see coaches today still thinking more is better. And guess what? When you have 60 kids, I'm going to start ranting. Here we go. A couple minutes left. But, you know, yeah. You go, well, the coach is successful. Yeah, he's got 70 kids on the football team, maybe. And as long as he's got 20 healthy ones at any given time, and a lot of these, you know, teams have great kids, athletes, then it works. Could work a lot better, though. All right, so mix up your intensities. Moderate is valuable. Low level is valuable. Interval training is incredibly valuable when you have less time. But you also do the workout based on the time and your mood. I'll leave you with that. All right? So if you have 20 minutes, 10 minutes, and you're like, yeah, I got to burn off some stress, that's when you maybe jump on your elliptical, jump on your treadmill, jump on your bike, go outside, swimmer, doesn't matter, whatever your cardio is, and you do a little short warm-up. Then you do some hard intervals, short, with some recoveries. That's your main set, if you want to call it that. And then you do a cool down, you're done. Setting yourself up for a great day. And that's why I want to really just to hammer home the concept of the shorter workouts are giving you those cognitive benefits as well. So yeah, listen, if you can't, and you know, we're all gonna have days off and we need days off, and you can't beat yesterday every day, and there is no perfect, but let's shoot for doing more frequently, right? Don't do a lot of exercise, a little bit, as I say. Do a little bit, a lot. And the days when you have more time, you do more. The days when you can't do it, you don't stress. That's where we're going to leave it here, okay? Because that's where people freak out. And one final thought, actually. On the days you can't do anything, let's say you are traveling, you're going to be on a plane all day. What I do is I dial in my nutrition that much more. Not crazy. But I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to burn my 500 calories maybe through my exercise, and I'm going to be burning less from just my activity, right? So call that 750, whatever. I'm going to eat even healthier. So I'm going to counter balance my decreased activity with just even healthier eating. And that's going to make me feel better too. That's why it's all connected. You know, if you're sitting on a plane, like, I know most people go, well, you know, Twizzlers are going to make me much happier than fruit. You will get to the point that I am, that the fruit will make you happier at some point. Doesn't mean I don't have Twizzlers every now and again, but I have those at the movie theater. But it's that slippery slope, and this is how it truly is all connected. And it's not just about what you eat, and it's not just about what you how you move and your exercise routine. It's all connected. It's all connected. And I just did the podcast, talked about the study where it showed you can't out-exercise a bad diet and you can't eat well enough to mitigate not moving. We need to do it all. All right? Whew. I love this stuff. I hope you do too. If you got this far, you did. My goal is to help us all live our best lives, to make sense of all of this stuff. That's my bias. The best information, the best guests. Lots of great guests coming up, by the way, for Fitness Disrupted 2.0. Okay, this is a brand new feed. If you can, if you have not already, follow the show, subscribe, rate it. Super helpful. If you want to reach out, Tom H. Fit is Instagram as well as Twitter. Direct message me anything you want to ask, comments. Love to hear from you. Fitnessdisrupted.com is my website. You can email me through the site. And remember, there's three things we all control: how much we move, what we put into our mouths, and our attitudes. And that is awesome. I am Tom Holland. This is Fitness Disrupted. Believe in yourself.